And here we are coming to you live from a top secret broadcasting bunker where nobody can find us. Sometimes it's just good to be hid away somewhere because some people don't like what you're going to say. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live today, and I'm going to welcome your email comments, even if you disagree with things that I'm going to talk about today, I welcome that. And I will read them online, unless you're a troll and all you can do is call me a racist and a bigot and a homophobe and everything else. And I'm not going to. Today is not your day, and tomorrow's not looking real good either. I'm a little nervous today because just a lot of things. I am going to slow down a little bit this week on my schedule. I am not going to record a Watchman broadcast this week. Oh, I know. It will be forthcoming. God showed me some things yesterday morning when I came in here and sat down. I was looking over my notes in preparation to start working on the script for next week's Watchman broadcast, or what would be next week's Watchman broadcast. And there was a verse that I had down in my notes that I was just going to sort of as an asterisk or just something as a side note that I was going to try to cram in somewhere else. And it was like the Holy Ghost just pointed me at that verse, and I looked at it, and I got it. I mean, I got it. I got what it has, what it's in relation to. And rather than this verse just being something I fit in to some other Watchman broadcast dealing with the Fourth Kingdom, I'm going to spend some time with this because I think it's important. I think that it is essential, not just as far as Bible prophecy is concerned, but everyday life, the issues that you and I face, that you and I deal with every day. And I just looking at it, and I'd started writing stuff down yesterday, going through scriptures, collecting ideas. I posted on a Facebook in a private group that I'd like some help with research, and several of you jumped on it. You sent me some really, really great stuff. But rather than rushing through this, just trying to meet a schedule, just trying to pop it out so that people have something to do with themselves next week, I'm going to spend some time with it. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. I'm going to spend some time reading some things. I'm going to spend some time searching the scriptures and getting a good idea in my mind how to present this. And so I'm going to ask you to forbear with me. I'm going to ask you to just give me that time. And I assure you will not be time wasted, although I could use the rest. I'll be honest with you, I could use it. Lindsay is finally back to work. Hallelujah. Her and her little bitty baby. He's so cute. I had all the grandchildren in one room yesterday with the exception of Adeline, and I was just looking at that, and I just about burst in tears. Man, they're precious. And so, anyway, she's back, and so that's going to relieve some of the workload off of me. And there's just some other things that I want to tend to, but I want to spend some time dealing with this. And so I'm going to spend some time putting this together in a way that will make sense to everybody, in a way that you'll see what's going on. When Todd Bentley starts talking about or Ben the Hindu, when he starts talking about his fire anointing, I want you to know from the scripture what he's doing to everybody and exactly what he's talking about. And that's what I want to do. I want to lay out a case where these guys come up with this stuff and you're going, where is that coming from? And they give you this lame idea. Oh, this is God doing this. You can arm yourselves with a shield, because I'm going to ask you it has to do with fire and flames. And I want to ask you, what kind of darts does the enemy throw at us? You need a shield to protect you from that. You need an infallible shield. You need a shield that doesn't have any chink in the armor and it doesn't have any holes in it. That's what you need. And that's what I'm going to try to give, or at least point you in the direction, and you can go pick it up for yourself. And I'm a little nervous today about, I was going to tweet it yesterday, and I decided to hold off just to make sure that this is what I was going to talk about. I come in, sit down, I'm going over it, and I'm going, I've got to say something. I think I really, really need to say something. Because a lot of you are followers. You follow our ministry, and I want to tell you thank you. I do. I want to sincerely tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. It is a joy to come out here. It is a joy to present what's going on in the world. It's a joy to present things that I see in the scriptures. For years, I didn't have that. Of course, we didn't have the technology. I couldn't stream 10 years ago. Okay. Now we can do it. Now the technology is there to get these things out of me, but they were there for a long time and I was just frustrated. I don't know what to do with all this stuff. Well, God was just, Mike, just be patient. And, so you make it fun. You make it worthwhile. You make it worth doing. And, I'm sure that there are things out there that, and people out there that if I say something, you don't automatically agree with me. And I want you to know that I really don't have a problem with that. I think there are supposed to be people out there who don't agree with me. There are supposed to be people here in this church, in my family that don't agree with me. My wife doesn't agree with me on some things that she doesn't agree. And it's never good for anybody to not have any resistance in life whatsoever. It's never good. And so the challenge that I'm going to present you today is what I would do if I was dealing with any other issue. If I was talking about tongues, if I was talking about being slain in the spirit, if I was talking about whether the NIV is a good trans... I just crack up saying that. Whether the NIV is a good translation or not. I'm just going to present what I consider to be facts. Facts. This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you facts. I'm going to read you scripture verses and so on. And then you decide. You be the judge. And then I'm going to ask you to go to the scriptures. Don't go to YouTube. Don't go to the internet. Don't go to a blog. Don't go to an article. Go to the scriptures and find out whether what I said is true or not true. Because internet articles, let me just quote some scripture here. Let me start out. I've kind of been in a hurry here trying to get everything together in preparation for this. And I started putting some scriptures down to preface this. And I don't know, for some reason this ain't working either. So we've had a long string of stuff not working right around here. And I don't know, it's resistance from the devil or whatever, and it's okay because, again, I'm not supposed to have it my way all the time. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Take your King James Bible and turn to Romans chapter 3. Now, I've already been set up in a mood today. Big Al from Big Alabama got me set off today. He pointed me in the direction of a couple guys on Sermon Audio that they started out good. I was really enjoying what I was listening to. They were talking about how some of the earlier Americans, especially like during World War II, how they were in favor of men who were in the army fighting the war, reading their Bibles. Gideon's handing out hundreds of thousands of King James Bibles to men on the battlefield. And guys, even guys like Roosevelt and Truman and army generals telling them, read that book. Read long, large portions of that book. we're going to need it. Knowing that the enemies that we were fighting against at that time were evil. Were very, very evil people. And I'm really enjoying this. And then they had to go, they had to do this. They started, there was two guys on there, I don't know who they are. Then they started talking about how the King James only people got it all wrong. And one guy is, he's given this boast that, you know, I'm in a King James church. But I like to, when I'm reading the King James in front of my people, I don't say the these and the thous. I don't say that. If I know it's coming, I'll just say it like we normally say it. I won't say it, and I want you to get what he's doing. He's telling you that he doesn't regard the words in that book as being right. That's what he's saying. So then they started talking about, you know, if my kid, you know, if all he could read was the message, then I would let him, you know, hey, read the message, and then you'll know what God said. And then I hear this. Well, I like to get, you know, three or four, five translations out there and read them all so I know all of what God's saying. So they had to turn it into this, you know, you King James only people are messed up in the head talk. And so that kind of got me in a little mood here. And somebody sent me a video clip of Chuck Missler yesterday. Now, up until this point, I have never, that I can recall, I got to be careful about that. Sometimes I say things and don't remember it, and I say, well, I didn't say that, and then, yeah, I said it, okay? But I don't recall ever saying anything about Chuck Missler other than what I knew to be a fact, and that was from his website. He was endorsing and still is, to my knowledge, unless he's changed. He is endorsing a new translation of the Bible. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know when this video clip was made. I don't know if it was made yesterday, 10 years ago, and he's changed his mind since then. I don't know. And so if I am sharing something that he has sensed, backed up and said, you know what? That's not right. You know, I kind of thought that way then, but I don't think that way anymore. If that's the case, I would love to see the evidence, because I'll come out and I'll say, Chuck changed his mind. Okay? Chuck changed his mind. I don't mind giving guys a fair shake. I really don't. But here's what I know. A lot of you follow me, but a lot of you follow Chuck Missler. Now, probably, oh, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I read one. I've got one of Chuck Missler's books, and it was about the whole UFO thing, all right? And I read through it. I can't remember what was in it. That was 10 years ago. I found it, if I remember right, I found it kind of interesting. I also, about the same time, I read Marzulli's book. I can't remember what it was called anyway. It's about the aliens and Area 51 and stuff like that. And I'm going, okay, interesting. I didn't know Marzulli. I didn't know who Chuck Missler was back then. Marzulli, there are some things that he has endorsed, some things that he has said that I have gone to him about that trouble me. And it leads me to believe that he questions things that are in the Bible. Now, I'm aware that it's possible that Lynn Marzulli and Chuck Missler will at least hear about this. Somebody will write them and say, hey, you know, Mike Harkin's bashing you. You know, he said this. And most of the time, nobody gets it right. They'll characterize something that I said, and I didn't say that. So I'm trying to be careful in how I word everything and try to be accurate on what I present today, because I am dealing with someone that you or some of you favor. And if I just said, you know, I heard that Chuck Missler, I heard he had champagne at his wedding. Who cares? That's a rumor. Okay. And you know what I like to do? I don't care about I don't care about if he wears shorts out on the beach. I don't care what kind of food he's got in his refrigerator. I don't care what he watched on TV last night. I don't care. What I am going to concentrate on are the words that came out of his mouth. That's what I'm going to deal with. If he said it and he meant it and he believes that, and I find it to be in not just minorly in contradiction to the scripture, but in a major way, contrary to what the scripture says, then I'm going to say something. I'm going to tell you this is what he believes. This is what he stands for. This is what he's getting at, and it's not right. I think it's dangerous to follow this. I think it's dangerous. And so that's how I'm going to proceed today. And I'm just going to establish a foundation of where I think everybody needs to be here. So Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And so here's just a rule that I think Mike Hoggard should stick to. And that rule is that God, and included in that are the 40 authors of the books of the Bible. Because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God is true. And as it pertains to the writings of the scriptures, which are the words of God himself, not the words of Jeremiah, it's not the words of Paul. Paul wrote it. Jeremiah wrote it. Isaiah wrote it. But clearly from the scriptures, Jeremiah, open your mouth. Why? Why, God? So I'm going to put my words in there. Okay. And he puts his words in Jeremiah's mouth, and what comes out is God's words. Ezekiel, yes, Lord, eat this roll, eat this book. Okay, Lord, and he eats the book. And he says, now go and speak to your people the words. God put it in him, and that's what came out. So I believe that God, by the way, the word is God. I believe that God is true. This book is true. And every man a liar. That includes Mike Hoggard. That includes that. Am I capable of lying? Oh, you betcha. Oh, I got it in me. Do I want to? No. No, uh-uh. That's why I try to be corralled by the scripture. Stay and let's read that verse again. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings. And so instead of you writing me or calling here and saying, he talked evil about Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler is this and Chuck Missler is that, and he does all this, and how dare Mike Hoggard? I can be justified in what I say. How can I be justified? I'm quoting scripture. That's how you get justified. So if Chuck or Lynn or Jim or Rob or Tom or James or anybody, I'm just giving first names here. If any of these guys say something and it didn't come out of scripture and it's wrong, what they might try to do, I don't know, what they might try to do is justify themselves. Well, you know, you don't understand that, you know, according to the blah, blah, I don't care. What does the scripture say? What does the Bible say here? Justify what you're saying. Dude, give justice to it. Show me the verses in the Bible that back up what you said. Show it to me. That's how you get justified. That's how when people are going to judge you, you can say, you know what? You can say whatever you want to about me, and probably half of it's going to be true. but you didn't like the scriptures that I gave, and I can't help you. It's like the lady in Sunday school that she didn't like the fact that I asked her to be quiet. I don't know if you remember that or not. But I said, ma'am, according to the scripture, you're to go home and ask your husband that. Boy, she didn't like that at all. So anyway, but you know what? I was just quoting scripture. I was quoting scripture. And so I'm going to quote some. Let me give you the foundation here. Let's have a foundation of what we're going to do. Paul sets it up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul then tells Timothy, in contrast to evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He tells him, in contrast to that, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Stop right here. You look at this verse, and that's what it's saying. Paul's saying, Timothy, don't listen to the seducers. Don't listen to the deceivers. Don't buy what they're selling. You continue in what you've learned, knowing where you got it from. You learned your doctrine from me, but you also, Timothy, from a child, you knew the Holy Scriptures. What did Timothy have? By the way, did Timothy have the original manuscripts? No. And yet Paul called what Timothy had holy. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. The Holy Scriptures. And so he said, Timothy, you're supposed to continue, and your faith will continue, and your salvation will continue if you abide in the Scriptures. Stick with the Bible, Timothy, because the lies are building up, and they're going to get worse and worse. And I tell you, people, we're standing in a generation right now where the lies are everywhere. Continue in the Scriptures, people. I know you have a thirst for knowledge. I know you have a hunger for, I want to know what's going on out there. I want to know about UFOs, and I want to know about Bigfoot, and I want to know about Area 51, and I want to know this, and I want to know that. Stick with the Scriptures. Stick with the Bible. That way you'll be justified in your sayings, and you can overcome when you're judged. So when you went out and told everybody, and boy, I'm not going to get off this kick. When you went out and told everybody that there was going to be bodies laying everywhere at the London Olympics, how do you justify that? How can you justify what you told everybody when it didn't happen? See, you didn't stick with the Scriptures on that one. And so now you don't have a leg to stand on. And so if you'll pour yourself into your Bible and learn it and read it and study it and memorize it and meditate on it and think on it, God will do with you exactly, or better, what he did with me yesterday. He showed me one verse and said, Mike, you know what this is, don't you? Oh, I got it. You see, the Holy Ghost has got to do that for you. God has to say, let there be light, and there will be light. And that's what he did yesterday. That's what he'll do for you. And then he says, all Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, minus the Apocrypha. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All Scripture. Not just what Paul said. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. All of it. And so when I am developing my thoughts and my ideas concerning a particular subject, I'm going to search the Scriptures, because some people say that what Paul says here and what Peter says here are contradictory to one another. Well, how can that be? Seeing that two cannot walk together except they be agreed. How can one writer of the Scriptures be in contradiction to another writer of the Scriptures? How can that be scripturally? Show me the verse. Show it to me. And so all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's the basis here. If it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. Or if it's not in the Bible, it's not true. See what I'm saying? Let God be true and every man a liar. God and his word and what the 40 men wrote down in our scriptures, those are true, and every man is a liar. So if it's not in the Bible, A, it either doesn't exist, or B, it's not true. There's not a C. There's not, unless, of course, it's said by a doctor. Then you listen to that. That's not what he said. So it's scriptures or nothing. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke by the prophets, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Micaiah, Isaiah, some prophet named Lamentation. I don't know who that is, but anyway, Daniel, Ezekiel, Joel. I made that up, by the way. These are the prophets. You know what's missing out of this? Let me read it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You know what's missing here? The rabbis. God didn't include Father by the prophets. He didn't include the rabbis here. He left the rabbis out. He left them out. Should he have included it? Did it hurt the rabbis' feelings that God didn't include them there when he said he spake in times past by the prophets, hath now spoken of this in by his Son, who hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds? He didn't include the rabbis here. Why? It didn't take you long when you'd start looking at especially the New Testament. Jesus didn't have a real favorable idea of who the rabbis were and what they were doing. In the book of Acts, that Sanhedrin, they kind of got angry. They didn't like Peter. They didn't like John. They didn't like Paul. They worked against them. So God speaks through the prophets. Now he speaks through his Son. So we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, and he didn't include the rabbis in here. And I'm telling you why. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you. See how simple that is? Does anybody have any questions on that? You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That's the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4:2. So in the Old Testament contract, the Old Covenant, there was a clause in there, not a Santa Claus, a real clause that said in the covenant, in the contract, you can't add to the contract and you can't take away from it. We already agreed on the contract. So by you, and I came across a website a while ago, I just about died looking at it. I had to shut my computer off a while ago. And it was about these Mary apparitions all over the place, and it had the Ten Commandments for Catholics, and I went, okay, I'm going to look. Sure enough, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Gone. They took it out. They divide the Tenth Commandment in two, so now they still got ten. See, that's cheating. That's cheating. You're not supposed to do that. Okay. So anyway, you should not add to the word, you should not diminish aught from it. So it's either sola scriptura, or it's nothing. So should we go learn at the feet of the rabbis? Should we go learn from the Targums? Should we go read the where's all my paperwork here? I had tons of paperwork. Should we go read the Targums and the Mishnah? Should we go read those books? Okay, the Talmud. Should we go read those to get a better insight so we know God a little bit better? No. Because right after God said, "You should not add unto the word which I command you," some Jew immediately started writing stuff down saying, "Now this is what God really means. Now here's what we learned in Egypt. Now we're in Canaan now. Here's what we learned here. Oh, we learned this in Babylon." I mean, they started doing it. As soon as God said, "Don't add to it," they started adding to it right then and there. See, that's where the Talmud comes from. And the Mishnah and the Targum and all these Hebrew words that I don't even know what they mean, half of what they mean. That's what they did. They broke the contract nearly as soon as God gave it to them. Because God said, "Don't add anything to it." And they said, "Okay, well, what he really means to say here is this and this and this and this." And that's what they did. And you have to ask yourself, where'd they get all that stuff? And in Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, he which testifieth these sayings saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. See that word, amen? That's Jesus' name. He signed it. That's him signing, putting his name on the document. And so he testified these sayings, and he said, "Surely I come quickly." And if he said, "Don't add to it, Joe Smith," then you're going to hell if you add to it. Now, I read that verse. You take it wherever you want to take it. But the verse stands as it is. Titus chapter 1, verse 13. "This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." What is my agenda here? I was thinking about it. I was praying about it this morning. I was thinking about it. You know what I want for me? What I want for me and my wife and my family and my church, I want a pure religion. I want a pure religion. I want a religion and a doctrine and a life that's based upon the words of the Bible alone. Because I don't care what movement it is, I don't care what denomination it is, they always have a tendency, so do I, I'm a man, to add to it or take away or diminish from it. Well, it doesn't really mean that. It doesn't really mean that. What it really means, what it really meant to say was, and I would like to have a pure faith out there that's based solely upon the Word of God. And I want you to have that, because I can tell you there's freedom in abiding to the Word of God. There's freedom there. There is little or no fear. There's only trust and rest and peace. And that's what I want. That's what I, when I see people who are in bondage, there's just something in me that says, you know what? I would really like for you people to be free. So that's my motive. And I go back to this idea that, I've been down some roads, some pretty bad ones, pretty unstable roads. and God allowed me to come back, and now I'm standing here at the turnoff exit, the ramp to that road, and I see people wanting to turn down that road, and I just want to go, don't do it. I've been down there. I saw what's down there. I know where it's leading. I'm telling you, don't do it. You don't want to have to deal with what I had to deal with. It'll scare you once you get down there. Don't go down there. That's what I want to do. So rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to... It's interesting that he didn't say Buddhist, he didn't say Muslim, he didn't say Greek or Roman fables, he said Jewish ones. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. That's what he said. Unto the pure, all things are pure. So what are you saying by that? That's what it says. I believe my Bible is pure. I believe that I don't have to add anything to the verse to make it sound better. It's like eating the perfect dish, and it's seasoned perfectly, and you eat it, and you can't think of a thing that should be added to it. Or you can't say, there's too much garlic in that, or that's too much salt. You eat it, and it's like perfect. That's what I think of my Bible. I don't think it needs salt. I don't think it needs garlic. I don't think it has too much pepper in it. It is absolutely perfect. You get a dish like that, you just want to keep eating it over and over and over again, because you've never had, you tasted to see that God was good, and you're going, this is good. So I believe the Bible's pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now you take that wherever you want to go with it. I'm not going to show you the video. I am going to show you screen captures of the video, but it's on YouTube. I don't know if I downloaded it. I probably did, just for a reference. But it's Chuck Missler, and he's talking about, let's see here. Yeah, I did. The Shekinah, Chuck Missler. If you go to YouTube and you type that in, the Shekinah, Chuck Missler, you can watch it for yourself. But he starts teaching on the Shekinah. And I've sort of told you where I come from on this thing, because I heard this thing 20-some-odd years ago when I was in Bible college on a radio program. The Shekinah glory is going to come down. I'm going, what in the world? And see, it didn't register that the Masonic Lodge in Crystal City, which is Festus and Crystal City are twin cities. The Masonic Lodge here in town is called the Shekinah Lodge. Didn't register to me. But it just didn't sound right either, because I'm going, I've never heard that. And, of course, when you're in college, you're introduced to all kinds of things that your mom didn't tell you about, okay? So I'd never heard this before, but it didn't sound right to me. And it wasn't until a few years ago I started doing research on it, and I'm going, it's not right. It is not right. The Shekinah is not from God. You're saying, oh, yes, it is. I'm saying, no, it's not. And you're saying, oh, yes, it is. It's in the Bible. I'm saying, no, it's not in the Bible. And you're saying, yeah, it is. Chuck Missler said so. And he's a doctor, and he ought to know. I'm telling you, I'm just a guy that believes the Bible, and I'm telling you, you search the scriptures like Bereans, it's not there. It's not there. So let me show you the graphic here. This is actually Chuck's PowerPoint presentation in the video. And he see his notes there. He says Shekinah, and he says from Shekan, which means to dwell, from whence comes Mishkan, the tabernacle. Now, I get it. I get it. We're dealing with Hebrew words. Okay, I got it. Okay, and so he tells everybody Shekinah, the word Shekinah comes from Shekan, which means to dwell. So far, that's he's got it right. And if you look at a concordance and you find the word Shekan, you'll see it, you know, it gives you all these verse references in the King James, and you'll say, well, yeah, Shekan here and Shekan there, and Mishkan, Shekan, I can kind of see that. It's to tabernacle, and okay, I get it. Chuck, there was something you left out. There was something you didn't tell everybody. You told them part of it. You didn't tell them the rest of it. I don't know why you didn't tell them the rest of it, but you didn't. What you didn't tell them was Hebrew words are masculine and feminine. Some are neutral. But Shekan, which is actually used in the Hebrew Old Testament, Shekan, is masculine. It's got a beard, has muscles, and a deep voice. Shekan is masculine because God is a guy. Shekinah is a girl. It's feminine. That's not God. That's not who He is. God is not a her. God is not a Baphomet mixture of male-female. God is the Father. He. That's how the Bible describes Him and His Word. That's how the Bible describes Him. So you didn't tell everybody that one. You told them a half-truth. And it's not just him saying that. It's where he took it. That's what got me. Because I hear pastors all the time. I mean, I have good friends that when I asked them, have you ever heard that? Yeah. You ever heard it preached? Yeah. You ever said it in a sermon? Yeah. And I wasn't being, I mean, these were my friends. I wasn't trying to get in their face with it. And they trusted me in that they knew that I was going to research certain things. And I would ask them, you know where it came from? Well, no, I just always heard it. Okay? Well, it's not in the Bible. It's not there. It's actually Ashtaroth. It's her. It's Diana. It's Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great. That's who that is. And I said the whole concept, and I showed this graph of last week where God has got his arm around his red-headed naked girlfriend in the Sistine Chapel of the Catholic Church. That's Shekinah. That's who that is. That is Sophia, female. Ashtaroth. They're one and the same. Different names, same chick, same woman. That's what Shekinah is. He didn't tell everybody the whole story. He just told them that little bitty, itty-bitty part, and then he went on. Now, one of the statements that he did make was, and this is an exact quote, you won't find it in the Bible, but you will find it in all the rabbinical literature. Stop right here. Again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. That from a child thou hast known, Paul didn't say what the rabbi said. That from a child, Timothy, you know those rabbis, they taught you well. They taught you, you know, the Jewish way. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, Timothy, you know that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They're able to make thee wise in the salvation. Paul used to be one of them that are rabbis. Jim Staley still calls him one. He calls him, he's not Rabbi Paul, or he's not the Apostle Paul. That's pagan Greco-Romanized talk. He is Rav Shaul. See,
Staley even uses Paul's old name, Rav Shaul. And Rav Shaul wants us to be back under the Torah. Bunch of Pharisees. But anyway, that Paul didn't commend Timothy for sitting still in Sabbath school and listening to the rabbis. He commended him because he knew the Holy Scriptures, which were to make him wise into salvation. And he said, the Holy Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they're perfect for doctrine. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then he's writing to Titus, and he said, Titus, watch out for those Jewish fables. They're dangerous. So Missler takes, and he tells half, again, he tells half the truth. You're not going to find Shekinah in the Bible. Now, I'm going to correct something. I don't recall whether or not in this video, Missler actually said that Shekinah is the feminine form. He may have. Okay? So, excuse that. I don't remember. I go back and play it. You watch it. You see. Let God be true. Let the video evidence be true. All right? But then he has the Word of God here. He said it's not in the Word of God. So let's put our rules in place. Number one, if it's not in the Word of God, if it's not in the Scriptures, it either doesn't exist. Or number two, if it's not in the Scriptures, it's a lie. We have to assume that it's a lie. He says it's not in the Scriptures, but it is in all the rabbinical literature. What does that mean, Chuck? You're talking, when you say rabbinical literature, you're talking about the rabbis who, you know what, let me try to find my note. I've got so much paper scattered around here. I may have thrown it away. I had downloaded, I was looking at, because I don't know what the Targums and the Talmud is. I don't know what that is. They didn't teach me that in Bethel Church Sunday School. Here's the Talmud. The Talmud is the central text of Rabbinic Judaism. The central text. The Talmud has two components. The first is the Mishnah, the written compendium of Judaism's oral law, the Torah, meaning instruction, the oral Torah. Oral Torah. The second part is the Gemara, an elucidation of the Mishnah and related Tanakhic writings that often ventures onto other subjects and expounds broadly on the Jewish Bible. So you got the Bible, then you got the Talmud. Okay? The terms Talmud and Gemara are often used interchangeably, though strictly speaking that is not accurate. So here's the thing. Okay? This is the rabbinical literature that is referring to. The Talmud, the Mishnah, the Gemara. Okay? This is what he was saying. The rabbinical literature is the Talmud. Here's the problem with the Talmud. According to Wikipedia, as the rabbis, let's see here, let me just read this. As the rabbis were required, this is after 70 AD. I still use Anno Domini, not CE. After 70 AD and the consequent upheaval of Jewish social and legal norms, as the rabbis were required to face a new reality, mainly Judaism without a temple. There's a clue for you, Sherlock. Judaism without a temple to serve as the center of teaching and study, and Judea without at least partial autonomy, there was a flurry of legal discourse and the old system of oral scholarship could not be maintained. It is during this period that rabbinic discourse began to be recorded in writing. The earliest recorded oral Torah may have been the Midrashic form, of which halakhic discussion, I don't know these words, discussion is structured as exegetical commentary on the Pentateuch. Commentary. An opinion of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, but an alternative form organized by subject matter instead of by biblical verse became dominant about the year 200 AD when Rabbi Judah Hanasi redacted the Mishnah. Okay. The oldest full manuscript of the Talmud is from 1342, known as the Munich Talmud, which is available online. Here's my problem with the Talmud. And the history of it. Let's say that this, for argument's sake, this is right. The oldest known full Talmud that we have is 1342, but it dates back to after the dispersion there in AD 70. Okay, and the rabbis are going, we don't want to forget anything, so they started writing all their junk down. Here's the problem with it being at that time. At that time, God has already cast away the Jews. Not for good, not for permanent. But he's already cast them away. That includes them there rabbis. 2 Corinthians 3:12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. See that? Their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which... You know what I think the veil is? I think the veil that covers up the truth of the Old Testament is the Talmud and the Mishnah and the Bachad. I don't know what these words are. Should I have to know them? No. No. I think the veil that's over the Old Testament is what the rabbis are telling everybody. Remember, Jesus talked about these guys in Matthew 23 and did not paint them in a nice, pretty picture. I wonder why they wanted him dead. And he went after him. He said, you'll compass land and sea, and when you're done fixing this guy, you've made him twofold more the child of hell. You think about that. And all of the rabbinical literature that you find Shekinah in is a result of God blinding Israel. It's like putting a blind guy on a witness stand who was there at a robbery. Tell us, Mr. Blind Man, what did you see? Nothing, I'm blind. What did the guy look like? Well, I think, just by listening to his voice, I think he was tall, about 6'3". I think he was dark-complected. I think he had a mustache. And you trust that? You lean on that? You think that you're going to get some sneaky, mysterious insight on the Bible by reading the description of God from a blind man? I'm telling you, that premise is faulty. It's not just faulty, it's dangerous to do that. Why don't you just keep reading the Bible? I'm sure at some point God will open your eyes and say, this is what this means. But what they're doing, what Chuck just told everybody, it's not in the Bible, but it is in the rabbinical literature. It's in all of it. And there's this concept that pervades. I see it in a lot of places. That for some reason, in order for us to really understand who Yeshua HaMashiach is, we've got to go back and think the way the Jews thought. Really? Because there's a veil over their Bible, and they don't read it right. So why should we go back and read what they wrote? Because they've got it wrong. Let's keep reading. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. See what happens to the veil when you get saved? You're supposed to throw the veil away. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. That's my problem with all the rabbinical literature, Chuck. That's my problem with it. Those people are blind. They were blinded by God. They were blinded by their own pride. And God did away with them. Temporarily. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Think about what he's saying here, people. lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. See, it's a blindness. It's a partial blindness, but it's there. But it's going to be taken away when the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Romans 11:28, as concerning the gospel, look at this. Look who the rabbis are. Chuck, look at who the rabbis are. They're the enemies. The rabbis are, concerning the gospel, enemies. But as touching the election, they are beloved for your father's sake. I get that. I really do. I get the fact that God is going to save a remnant of Israel, the literal bloodline seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to do that. I get it. But concerning this notion that we've got to go back and learn what the Jews all said and this and that and the other in order to really get an understanding, I not only think it's dumb, I think it's a setup. I really think it is. And I'll show you where Chuck went with this. Romans 11:31, even so these also had not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. I think the Gentiles are absolutely going to be in on the salvation of Israel. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them, upon all. God concluded them in unbelief. So the rabbinical literature shouldn't be trusted at most, and I'm not even sure if it'd even be read. Misleading. Why? Because they don't believe. Galatians 4:24, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. You see, I really, 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 really like being free, and I don't like to see other people in bondage. I don't like to see men put people in bondage. And I can tell you that the Shekinah that Missler is talking about, she's a very dangerous whore. And she's in bondage. She loves to hold power over people, making them believe that their Bible's not right and they really can't read it or understand it. We've got to have the experts go get stuff for us, tell us what it really means. I think that's dangerous. Now, but that's what he said concerning, it's in all the rabbinical literature now. So that, according, and his saying of that was his justification for teaching what he taught on the Shekinah. Here's something else he said. He went on with it. These are. Remember, this is his PowerPoint. This is his notes. So he says, right under that, it's God's visible manifestation in a cloudy pillar and fire, especially over the mercy seat. Stop right here. Chuck said that the female goddess, Shekinah, because that's who that is not God. It's not in the Bible, it's not in the Hebrew, so it either doesn't exist or it's a lie. It's a woman, it's a goddess, it's Ashtoreth, is what it is. And he said, let me read it to you again. He said, it is God's visible manifestation in a cloudy pillar and fire, especially over the mercy seat. Let me show you a picture of that. There's actually a picture of the Shekinah over the mercy seat. Remember that? That's the old Virgin Mary sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant in a Polish Catholic church up in Chicago, where Bab Swirsky goes to church and prays to the Mother Mary that his sins can be forgiven. That's where, and I did a video. I just was stunned when I saw this image, and I'm going,
How much in God's face do you have to be by putting Ashtaroth on top of God's mercy seat? You see, because Roman Catholicism teaches that Mary is co-redemptrix along with Jesus Christ. She's like the fourth part of the Trinity, man. Did you know? And I'm just kind of feeding off things that I remember reading. And these may not be true. I don't know. In fact, I'm not going to say it. You do your own research on Chuck Missler, okay? And ask God if it's true. Here is a website from a Neuager who is describing what the Shekinah is in New Age thought. Now you say, now see, Pastor, right there, you're getting out of the Bible. That's New Age terminology. Okay, if I read this and you disagree with me, then quote Scripture. Quote Scripture. If you don't believe that this is what Shekinah is, then show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. Among the Hebrews, one of the traditional names of God is the Shekinah, and interestingly, it is a feminine gender noun. Many Hebrews saw her as the mother or feminine aspect of God. The early scribes, later called rabbis, added Shekinah. Added! They did. See, they did exactly what I said. God said, don't do. You don't add that. They added Shekinah in biblical verses where the verb shekan is used in relation to God. Shekan literally means to dwell or to live with. The Shekinah means the God who dwells within and developed primarily after the destruction of the Temple of Solomon, 587. Where were the Israelites after the destruction of the temple? Babylon. Dun, dun, dun. And let's see here. There was something in here about her being co-redemptrix in this article here. The Talmud teaches that the Shekinah is everywhere. Observing Jews say the Shekinah descends each Friday at sunset to transform each Jewish home during the Sabbath. Make you think twice about all this Sabbath worship. And I don't mean worshiping God on the Sabbath. I mean worshiping the Sabbath. Metatron. That is Kabbalah. I'm just kind of reading various things. I didn't have time. Here it is. Shekinah serves as an intermediary between man and God. She rules the conception of children and protects the sexuality and the sanctity of marriage. She is the Holy Spirit, the cosmic mother, the third member of the Holy Trinity, a.k.a. the Gnostic Epinoia. She is currently in exile on earth because of Adam's sin, and all good acts help to hasten her return to heaven, the true purpose of the Torah. Kabbalistically, in other words, according to the Kabbalah, Shekinah is the tenth Sephira, or the queen in the Zohar. She, watch this now, she keeps the way of the tree of life. That's what the New Ager writes, that she keeps the way of the tree of life. I'm going to show you something that Missler said. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Look at this. Keep in mind now, Shekinah is the one who stands between us and God. According to Missler, this is his notes. Earliest notice of the Shekinah as a sword-like flame between the cherubim being the presence of Jehovah from which Cain went out and before which Adam and succeeding patriarchs worshipped. What? Now, number one, show me anywhere in the Bible where it talks about how or what Adam and the patriarchs, show it to me in the Bible, how they worshiped. Doesn't exist. Where did Chuck get this little interesting piece of information? Now, what he's saying is, it was the Shekinah that Adam worshipped and all the patriarchs worshipped. And Cain was kicked out of the presence of Shekinah. He don't get no Shekinah. Where did he get this from? I'm not 100% sure. There's a book that I found. It's called The Shekinah Glory. It's written by some guy because this whole Shekinah thing has just pervaded Christian thought. And he says, here's a quote here, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Joseph Excel holds this view and is one of the few commentators who uses the word Shekinah in treating this verse. Quote, God's face means doubtless the Shekinah or manifest glory of Jehovah at the gate of Eden where Adam and Eve and their children had worshipped, where God was seen by them, where he met them and spoke to them as from his mercy seat. From this place of Jehovah's presence, Cain was to go out. Now, what I could find out from this particular book was that this writer, George something another, got it from the Talmud. The rabbis invented this idea that Adam and the patriarchs worshipped the Shekinah. And so Chuck and this other guy here went and got that, and they said, see, that's what they did. That's what they worshipped the Shekinah. It's there. It's, you know, it's in the rabbinical writings. And these rabbis, they were men of God. They loved God. No, they didn't. God concluded them in unbelief, and everything they wrote down, you have to regard as a lie. You can't believe it. You can't trust it. That's why I keep telling people, don't send me an article written by, or a book written by some guy that's got NIV verses all in it. Say, but he's got some good stuff in there. I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Then he also said, I just kind of listening to what he said. He said the patriarchs worshipped from in the front of the Shekinah. He also said that in that day, the fire of God came down and took their sacrifice off the altar. Did you read that anywhere in the Bible? And he actually said that is how Abel and Cain knew that God accepted Abel's offering, but he refuses Cain. You know, so what he did, he said, rabbis, help me out here. Give me some understanding. Oh, we know that God sent fire down from heaven and consumed. See, I got a problem with that one, too. Number one, it's not in the Bible. And the rule is, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. Or it's a lie. It's a setup. Because I read in the Bible about a prophet named False. What does he have the power to do? Go read it. Revelation 13. Anyway, let me show you something. This is where the danger comes in. This is what Chuck said. These are his notes. This is what he said. They anticipated the Shekinah's return under Messiah. Stop right here. The Shekinah's going to come back. The rabbis had it in their mind that when the Messiah comes, he's going to restore the harlot. That's what they said. That's what they believed in. The rabbis believed the Shekinah was God's consort that he had sex with. That's who Shekinah, that was her purpose. And that's just as G-rated as I can. That's when the glory gets released. That's wicked. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness is what that is. Anyway, they anticipated the Shekinah's return unto Messiah. Now, watch what he does. Now, for those of you who said, well, I listened to Chuck Missler, and he sticks to the King James. No, he didn't. And I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you what he did. I'm going to show you what he did to my Bible.
and I'm not happy about it. He's quoting Haggai 1:8 and Zechariah 2:10. And look what he wrote on here. I will cause my Shekinah to dwell in it in glory. Haggai 1:8. And then he says, I will cause my Shekinah to dwell in the midst of thee. Zechariah 2:10. Only when I looked at the King James, it doesn't say that. What it says is, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Zechariah 2:10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. But Chuck said, he changed it. He took it out. He replaced it. I will cause my Shekinah to dwell in it in glory. I will cause my Shekinah to dwell in the midst of thee. Do you see what he's doing? He's wanting you to believe what he's telling you by putting what looks like Bible verses on the screen. But it's not. Remember, there's two lions in the Bible. There's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and then there's the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How are you going to be able to tell which is which? And there's two lambs in the Bible. Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, and the false prophet that looks like a lamb. How are you going to be able to tell? With what measure are you going to measure the real versus the fake? And when you put Bible verses up on the screen, we're trained as Christians. We're hardwired as Christians that if we see it in the Bible, well, then we just accept it. You deceiver, you. You altered and changed the translation of the text. You went way beyond that. You took the original wording, Shachan, the masculine, and you put a woman in its place. How dare you do that to my Bible? How dare you stand up in front of people, teach them that God's consort is going to come and give us blessings? How dare you do that? I'm a little upset is what I am. Then he gives all these other verses. The continued presence of the Shekinah down to Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of the temple. He lists all these verses that he wants you to think, actually say. Now, in the original Hebrew, according to the rabbinical writers, according to the rabbis who are blind, it really should have been Shekinah. It's translated wrong. See, there goes your King James right out the door. There it goes. Gone. The moment you say, well, it really should have said this, we're not buddies anymore. And I realize that this probably leaves me somewhat of a lonely guy. I've never met Chuck, although we were at the same conference together in Branson. I was there for two or three days, handing out DVDs with Gary and Kay and talking to people. And Chuck, they ushered him in and ushered him out. I mean, he was gone in 60 seconds. So I never met him. But I just got a feeling now that I probably won't. But the moment you try to tell people that I care about that God's going to manifest himself as a woman, we're not friends. Because I know where you got the lies from, Chuck. And how dare you pass those along? So now watch this. Here's where it's going. Because here's his next slide here. Here's his next talking point. New Testament, glory of the Lord, Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Stop right here. You know what's in Luke chapter 2, don't you? And the glory of the Lord. That is the angels declaring the glory of the Lord at the birth of Christ. Chuck says that Ashtaroth, the Virgin Mary, Queen of Heaven, Diana, Shekinah, showed up at the birth of Christ and gave him her blessing. That's what he just told everybody. Then he says, the word tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, John 1:14. The power of Christ may tabernacle upon me, 2 Corinthians 4:6 and 12:9. Oh my goodness. His coming again with clouds and fire is the antitype of this Shekinah. Angels or cherubim generally accompany the Shekinah. Oh, that one I don't dispute. And he mentioned Revelation chapter 4, and we have the throne of God, and not a female to be seen. But he said, what he's teaching you is that the angels and the cherubs and the heavenly host all accompany the manifestation of the Shekinah. And he said it's the Shekinah that's going to be coming in the clouds. I got a picture of that one too. The Shekinah appearing in heaven. I got a picture of that one. She's already doing it. Coming to a cloud near you. The Shekinah. The woman God. That God told Israel repeatedly. She's going to get you guys in a lot of trouble. Don't follow her. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, she's the strange woman. Don't follow her ways. Don't do it. She's just waiting for you to come walking by. And she's going to pull you in. And her way is the way to hell. If Chuck still holds to that, that's the spirit that is influencing his teaching. If he still holds to that. Well, let's see if you're mad at me. John says, was it Elijah or Elisha who went against the prophets of Baal? He challenged them to sacrifice, and he bathed his sacrifice in water. The fire came down and consumed it. It was Elijah. Okay. Catherine says, you're spot on. Shekinah equals Sabbath queen. Pastor Micah spent much of my adult life in the Orthodox Jewish church or Jewish community. The woman waving her hands over the Sabbath candle in welcoming the Sabbath queen. You are right. I first heard of Shekinah from a prosperity gospel preacher in Portland, Oregon in 84 after leaving the Catholic Church. Appreciate that. Oh, yeah. You know what? I was going to talk about this. Somebody wrote in and said, at the Wailing Wall, when the rabbis rock back and forth, they're having intercourse with Shekinah. That's called doveting or something like that. You've seen all those people standing in front of the way. I thought they were just bowing. Oh, no. Oh, no. When you look at what their whole body is doing. Ed Sullivan didn't want Elvis shown from the pelvis down on his show. The first time Elvis came on, because he didn't like when Elvis is singing what he was doing with his pelvis. Elvis the pelvis, you remember that? He didn't like it. It looked dirty to him, and it was. And so now these Jewish rabbis, you know, the guys that write the rabbinical literature, the blind guys, they stand in front of the Wailing Wall. I got a bunch of stuff to say, and I'm not going to say it. But that's what they're doing. Let's see here.
Mike H. says, wow, the only thing in exile on earth is sin, isn't it, according to the Bible? I don't know where you come from, but anyway, thanks for writing it in. If you got a scripture that I can read, I'd like that. Pastor Mike, I was one of those folks who used to just repeat things at others who are quote-unquote saved to sound more holy without doing the research. Thanks for addressing this topic. Tess. Oh, hi, Tess. References the synagogue of Satan. Yeah, when I was doing the Revelation Bible study, I was talking about the synagogue of Satan. I think that's what the synagogues are. I think Satan owns them. Let's see here. Oh my goodness, Leslie says the Talmud permits rape of 3-year-old girls. The following passages are directly from the Sonsino Babylonian Talmud by Dr. Rabbi Epstein. This is Yabamoth 57b. A girl who is 3 years of age one day may be betrothed by cohabitation. If a Levir cohabitated with her, he was thereby acquired her. Billy. Hey, Mike, always look at who hangs with who to get a feel for where that person is heading as to get a start to research them. Chuck Missler has ties with Chuck Smith. Could be. Chuck Smith is dead now. Too late to pray for him, but pray for people that listen to him. Let's see here. Oh, my. Larry says, on my local Christian radio station this morning, they were having a Bible drill, and they were using the KJB for it. The announcer said after they read the verse, they were going to get their KJB ring decoders to understand the words. Oh, my goodness. I appreciate, Larry, you sending me that. Monty sends me an email and says, could you please mention your email address online? All righty. I have something that I would like to share with you. All right, I appreciate that. Go ahead and send it. All right? Apparently, you found the email address. Okay? Wendy says, we're with you, thank God. He kept us from those teaching. I tried to watch Chuck's videos on the Nephilim and had to shut it off after just a few minutes. Pastor Mike, you started today pretty much by thanking us out here. I just want to say no. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for teaching us out here that can't reach your church the true words of God. God bless you and your family and your ministry. I hope someday I can make it to Bethel to hear your service in person. Yeah, come on down, okay? I, for one, have been a lost soul and pretty much given up. Praise the Lord and Jesus that I was led to your online ministry. By the way, I like Brady's pastoring as well. It's great to see young people in the Word. God bless the new grandbaby and all your family. Appreciate that. Shelley, let's see here. Oh, Shelley's a reporter, wants to talk to me about Perry Stone. Interesting. Gwen says, do you think men like Chuck Missler have been deceived, or are they purposely being deceptive, allowing themselves to be tools of this kind of heresy? What gain is it in, well, number one, let me go back to this verse, right? Yeah, let's see where. Oh, where is it? I read it. Here it is. Hang on here. I got to pull it up here. Let's see here. It says, oh, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I have no doubt. I have no doubt whatsoever that he actually believes what he's saying. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Does he understand the ramifications and the error of what he's teaching? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Can he be prayed for? Absolutely. Still alive. Can't pray for Chuck Smith anymore because he's dead, but you can pray for Chuck Missler. Okay? Um,
David says, I've never listened or trusted Chuck Missler, but I have a friend who listens to him all the time. When this comes out on YouTube, I will download it and convert it, send it to him. I appreciate that, Dave. Margie says, so blessed to be here, Pastor. It's been a while since we've been here. Glad to be back again. We love our King James Bible and read nothing else. Do you have the decoder ring, Margie, that apparently you need the decoder ring to understand what it's saying? We don't have a church, so it's a double blessing to listen online. Well, you're the reason why we do what we do. Let's see here. Dear Pastor Mike, I love your videos on the Fourth Kingdom. In light of these parks closing thing, it seems to relate being that it is a kingdom of beasts. Okay, I get what you're saying now. You're thinking the government shutdown and the parks being closed might have something to do with keeping people out of the parks. We'll see. Okay, I mean, I understand where you're going, and it's interesting, and I won't deny it, but it is... it's interesting. Let's see here. Jan, I just want to tell you the one thing I love about you is the sanity you bring amongst the chaos and fear in this world. Imagine that, me being sane, just sensibly bringing us the word. Thank you, Jan. Let's see here. Brent. Pastor Mike, haven't talked to you for a while. Just dropping by to tell you I love you and you're the best, and I mean that with all my heart. Brent, you're a good guy. Seriously, Brent, you need to come to Festus, all right? I'm going to stay away with that one. Well, you know what? I'm going to read it. Pastor Mike, I'm new to your show. From what people are saying, you're a true man of God. My question to you, will God curse me because I'm a Democrat? No. And happen to like President Obama? No. I don't agree with all his policies, but still like him. Is that okay? Yeah, because we're not saved by who we like. Okay? We're not saved by being a Republican or not being a Democrat. That's not how we're saved. Bradley, if you can go back and listen to everything I've said, or I can just condense it for you and say this. In a way, when Obama was elected president the first time, in a way, I said to myself, you know, we finally did it. We finally put a black guy in the White House. Okay. And that's good. I wish that it would have been, you know, Clarence Thomas. But we finally did it. But then after that, when he opens his mouth and says, it's okay for two guys to kiss each other on the mouth and put a ring on their finger. It's okay to kill an unborn baby as early or as late as possible. That's where I have a problem with it. Okay? That is Christian doctrine that Obama is opposed to wholeheartedly. And I can't stand with him on that. All right? So anyway, good to be with you today. If I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong about the Shekinah, don't send me an email about how every preacher preaches it and it's just the accepted way. Don't send me that stuff. You send me verses of scripture that says the word Shekinah in it, Hebrew or English. Doesn't matter to me. You send me verses of scripture. All right? That's my challenge to you. And if you don't like what I said, Chuck Smith or Chuck Missler, you don't like what I said, quote scripture. We'll see what happens. God bless you. Love you. We will see you Thursday. Actually, tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday night Bible study. God bless you.